Okay, I think we'll get started. Terry brought us a gavel, so we better make use of it. That's a official Louisiana gavel. But it might be a backlash on myself, though. I'd like to thank all of you and welcome all of you to our 34th annual Sagebrush Conference. 35th annual. Wow, time flies when you're having fun. 35th annual Sagebrush Conference Board of Directors meeting. As you see, we have an action-packed agenda all week long, and I'd really like to have our hats off to our convention committee, in particular Artist Basin. Artists in Philo's health situation. She has really stepped up and worked 24/7 for us, getting everything put together. And I know Philo extends his same gratitude in given his health situation. It's just fantastic that. And I think that's typical what RSVA and ACB are all about. We're family, and we, you know, someone has a difficulty, we step in and we help them out. That's what we're all about. We don't make threats or anything else. We just step in and get the job done. And that's what's so much fun about being an integral part of this organization. Again, thank you and welcome. We do have some scheduling conflicts coming up this week. As you already know, I've been on the phone all weekend, and including up until 20 minutes ago. We have a snowstorm out east. It's February, and so at least one of our speakers is not going to be here, so Artists and I already have that slot filled, I think, providing that person makes it. That's just one of the things we work with. We're good at problem solving, and I'm sure that throughout the week you're going to be able to offer all of your assistance in problem solving and on how we move our program forward, the blind vendors program forward. It's so integral, so important that we preserve this program, not only for ourselves, but more importantly, for future generations. We'll be searching for ways to improve our program, to bring new people in, to bring in new accounts for ourselves and for our new people. And we'll be looking outside the traditional box. You know, we'll still keep on with all the old battles. You know, them are important. We'll work through them through. But we have to preserve the program. We cannot continue our downward slide that we have for the last 30, 40 years. We have to improve and bring new blood in, bring new accounts in, and improve the bottom lines for all of us and all for future generations to come. So with that, that kind of highlights what we'll be learning this week, is along with all the new technology and everything else that we'll be bringing forth. And again, as always, we have our sponsors and our exhibitors. Our sponsors are really what pays for this conference. You know, our registration fee we think is a lot, but the cost of a conference is high. Our registration fees do not cover the cost of each of our individual participation in this conference. We put all the money back into Sagebrush that we take in, but our sponsors make up the difference what we don't collect in registration fees. So it's important that everyone pay their fair share in registration fees and wear your badges at all events, because we do pay for things at every event throughout the week, and it's important that you have your badge issued on you so that the people at the door know that you are a very eager and willing participant and want to network and make all of us that much better. Okay, let's have a roll call. Donna? Yes, sir. You want to? Here.
Roy Harmer.
Here.
Artist Basin.
Here.
Donna Sellick.
Here.
Terry Cameron.
Here.
Richard Bird. Donna Rochelle.
Here.
Jim Siler.
Here.
Scott Egan.
Here.
Randy.
Here.
Herbert Miato.
Here.
Boris Toyama.
Okay, thank you, and again, glad to have you all here. I'm going to ask Rocky to go around and all the guests introduce yourselves. Starting with yourself, Rocky.
Oh, Rocky Marciano from Louisiana.
Jeff Tom, California.
I got you, right? Eddie, got Herbert.
Dwayne Zapardo from Texas.
Michael Kaufman, Birmingham.
Kathy Boschel, Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Oh, Dan, there are cookies back here.
Kevin Berkery, Burbank, California.
Rick Morin, ACB Radio.
And Brian Charlson, ACB Radio.
Pinky Harris, New Orleans.
Last but not very surely not the least, Pinky, as you all are probably aware by now, will be taking over Kim's roles and duties for us, along with the assistance of Rocky, in our national office in New Orleans. Again, a welcome guest, and yeah, and things have been pretty hectic in the transition period down there, but we'll get through it. There's no doubt in my mind we got the good people. And a very special welcome to Brian and Rick as we're broadcasting live over ACB Radio nationwide, and they'll be here with us all week, and we really appreciate their willingness to give us all their time and expertise in broadcasting this live. Okay. We do have refreshments. There's some cookies and tea and water and stuff, so help yourself. Please help yourself, because we like to see those consumed rather than taken back to the kitchen. Don't be bashful. That's what they're there for, to make yourselves comfortable with and fresh. Okay. Approval of minutes. Did everyone receive a copy of the minutes?
I'm told that they didn't. I did send them, and I don't know what happened. But I will, when I go back home, I will resend them, and hopefully they'll go through.
Okay. All right. Then we'll have to table that till next meeting then. I thought that when the copy I got was out, everybody, I may have read the two-line wrong, but that's my problem, I guess. Me and my screen reader have our differences every now and then. Okay. Treasurer's report. Terry?
Okay. In the bingo account, we have $55,495.42. The office account, $152,303.74. DK McDaniel account, $10,622.43. The Service Corp account, $41,282.92. And the Life Membership account, $3,454. Any questions?
I would just like to make one comment, and I don't mean to pick anyone out of the crowd or embarrass anyone, but as you know, Jeff Tom is our, and Bob Humphreys, our legal counsel. Jeff has been extremely, extremely busy lately, and he has not invoiced us for his retainer fees or for time. He's been putting a lot of time in for us, particularly in the Colorado case. And so we really appreciate that. So that the Durwood McDaniel account would be somewhat less than that once we get all of our bills paid. Yeah, Terry, can you send Donna a copy of the?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. She'll send you an electronic copy. Or maybe he's got a copy of it with him. You know.
Actually,
you
have an extra print copy.
Oh, okay. Great. Perfect. Okay. Any questions on the treasurer's report? Any comments? Okay. We can have a motion to approve them, or we can just file them for future reference or audit. Okay. Jim has made a motion to accept the treasurer's report. Do we have a second? Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll move on into committee reports. Eddie, awards committee.
Our committee is comprised of artists, Randy, Dan, and myself, and I want to thank them. We had many, many, many applicants to go through for these two awards. And we came up with one from Mississippi. Carolyn Jane Peets is the George Arsenault Award winner. And the other one is from Oregon. Leon James is the Charlie Carroll recipient. I just want to thank my committee, and we'll tell you more about them Thursday.
Okay. Thank you, Eddie. It's just it's a fun group to work with Eddie as the chair. I mean, he's just a wealth of knowledge and knowing, you know. Yeah. It's just okay. Thank you, Eddie. Okay. Well, another one of my favorite committees is the bingo committee, and you know that is so very special because that's basically what funds this organization. Terry, can you give us a report on bingo?
Well, to tell you the truth, it looks like I think most of the all the other accounts derive their income from the bingo games. We have three bingo games on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at noon at the Azalea Bingo Hall. And as you can see with the amount of money we have in the accounts, that it's doing pretty well. I don't think we've had any major problems. Right now is the best time of the year from the end of January to the beginning of April. Because of EIC, of course. A lot of extra money floating around. So we get our share of it. And like I said, we have three games. I don't know what else to say. Anybody's got any questions about the bingo?
Just a side note, I was looking at the bank statements for the RSBA bingo account, and it brought in $30,000 last month.
A month?
Uh-huh.
Nice.
Yeah, this month, this month's going to be much more because this is the biggest month of the year, February. Yeah. Like I said, EIC, you know, I don't know if y'all know what that is. It's Earned Income Credit.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Well, yeah. I could tell you every detail about it. We've been knocking the doors down for the last 2 weeks, and We you know, usually average about 140 people a session and 80 bingo mates. And for the last couple of weeks, we've been averaging 260 a session.
Wow.
And about 130 machines. So It's been very good. That's what they did last night. This morning, normally the Monday noon game, which is a new one, usually has about 100 people and 60 machines. And today when I called my daughter and she said, well, we had 165 people and 102 machines, so you can tell what it's fueling it. Yeah. But it's only going to last for about another 4 weeks, and then we go back to normal again. But normally, as you can see, most of these committees are funded by bingo. I mean, we don't have anything, any grants or any, it sure the hell ain't caused by dues. That whole $10 dues is not going to make very much.
Much difference, right?
But anyway, if anybody's got any questions or comments. What kind of machines? Well, on the 21st, we're going to be replacing all four of the bingo boards. We're replacing both of the bingo consoles, the calling machines, and we're replacing the bingo mate with another company that's, they've went to laptops. It's a mini tablet. It's about one-third the size. It's the same picture, but it's one-third the thickness, one-third the weight. The other ones had stands to put them on. These are built in. You know, everything about them is better. And that goes into effect on the 15th of March. So between the 21st of February and the 15th of March, just about everything is going to be all brand new stuff.
Yeah, I think Johnny has not had the privilege, like many of us, to have of visiting the bingo hall. Oh yeah, okay. But you know, they're computerized bingo. You don't know, you know, Terry's moving away from the paper bingo and moving to, and they're kind of interesting that. They call the number and it automatically pops up on your tabletop or a tablet, and yep. Yeah, it just removes a lot of human error aspect of it. I guess
really, what's the good part about it is that if two or four or six people go to bingo together, they don't really have to worry about marking cards if they buy machines. The bingo mates. It marks it for them, and it tells them when they're a winner or when they're waiting. And in the meantime, they can talk, look at their phones, play cards, you know, drink beer, watch women, go do anything they want to do. I had to throw that one in because I do that a lot with my 16 cameras in the hall. Get to roam around the hall, watch everything, but... It's interesting now because, you know, even if you're blind or low vision, like one of our board members over there, he's one of our bingo freaks, Herbert Rito. Ask him, Herb, you like the bingo machine? Herb comes with a couple of people and plays every now and then. So, but believe me, anybody can play bingo today and play it effectively and don't have to worry about missing a number or marking the wrong number. It's all automatic. And the verification is unbelievable. And we're getting ready to move into another era with that also, getting away from regular TV monitors and going with special monitors to make everything more accessible. So anybody who wants to play bingo, come play because you can play.
Okay. I just want to extend a very, very special thank you to Terry and all the Louisiana staff for the countless hours that they put into this bingo for our benefit. It's just amazing how successful that is, and we reap the benefits and really do very little other than, you know, sign a document once a year. And we just are able to put on this conference and make ourselves available in Washington or wherever we need to be through the assets brought in by the revenues from the bingo. Thank you very much, Terry.
No problem.
And that also extends to Bonnie, you know, because Bonnie allows him to be there, and Bonnie's at his side all the time. Yeah, Terry just celebrated his 50th wedding anniversary. So, okay. Constitution and bylaws, Artis?
Okay, this is a time of the year for you to think about any constitutional bylaw changes you'd like to see made. And they have to be in the, any of the amendments have to be in by the beginning of June, because we have in our Constitution that they have to be out. So we put them in the vendor scope. I'll be putting an announcement in the one that comes out 1st of April, and then the amendments and bylaws would have to be in the one that comes out the 1st of June. So check the Constitution, see if there's anything that you'd like to recommend. And if you don't want to recommend any, that's perfectly fine. But it's also, well, I might as well say it at the same time, because I usually, it's down further on the list as resolutions, but those also have to, if we want them in the publication, it's good to have them by June. Now, they can be brought up at the convention, but it's nice if others can see what we're proposing to bring forward, too.
Okay. Thank you, Artis. Yeah, and Constitution bylaws, that's, you know, again, you know, integral part of managing an organization such as ours, and always subject to revision or updating. So if anyone has any thoughts, just, you know, contact Artis or myself, and we'll, you know, do our best to get everything in place to improve the organization as a whole. Okay. Thanks, Artis. Convention committee is next. Philo is chair of that, but you know, as we're all aware, Philo's health situation. Artis, as mentioned, is very graciously stepped up, you know, literally 24/7, and put things together for us along with the convention committee. And it could not have been done without the entire convention committee and at the leadership of Artis. So I'm going to impose upon Artis to give us a recap of what we're is happening this week. And the rest of the convention committee, if you have any insights, what we, Artis may have, or myself may have overlooked, you know, please speak up. Artis?
Okay. I know Dan mentioned some things when he first started at the beginning of the meeting, but there are a couple of scheduling things that are different. One is the slot machine tournament is now going to be Wednesday afternoon at 5 o'clock instead of at Tuesday at 7. So any other people you see here, make sure that everyone knows. I mean, we'll be making announcements tomorrow morning and tomorrow afternoon, but we want to make sure that everyone is aware that that's a change. The hotel is having a major slot tournament, and they kind of wanted us to join them. But Dan felt it would be less confusing if we kept ours separate. So it's going to be Wednesday afternoon at 5.
Yeah. Just I'm going to hitchhike on that. Yeah, we originally scheduled it for Tuesday evening. And as you know, our complex this size has many divisions in it, built within, along with the entire ownership. But the hotel schedules things, the casino schedules things, convention center schedules things. You get the three major components of the facility. Well, lo and behold, the casino scheduled a public a slot tournament for this morning, this afternoon, and tomorrow morning. And then they said, then they approached our liaison through the convention side of things. And they said, well, why don't you just have the Sagebrush people join our, it's much higher jackpot and stuff. And I said, yeah, that'd be nice. However, it's going on while we're having general session tomorrow, and people would have to leave general session to participate in the slot. So then we moved it to 5:15 Wednesday evening, because most generally people are, you know, stay, you know, are all here yet, so hopefully it's not an inconvenience to anyone, but it just works out better that we don't have a conflict with the casino side of the thing here. And our convention liaison, as you know, our old convention liaison went and got herself promoted I still don't forgive her for that. So we have a new convention liaison midway through last year and this year, and this is the first time that she's dealing with a slot tournament, so, you know, we're learning together. It should be a lot of success. And you can still register for the slot tournament. If you didn't sign up when you registered, still, you know, go out and see Alan, Joy, or Cindy at the registration table, and you can still participate in the slot tournament.
No problem. Eddie is going to be asking each of you to help assist at the door for all of our events so we can make sure that just registered people get into the particularly the things where we have food, you know, like the breakfast and the exhibits and the luncheon, and for the reception Thursday night and Friday morning. So on Thursday evening for the reception, people will need a special invitation in order to get in, and all board members will receive an invitation. And so that will be invitation only. And I think that's pretty much what you need to know. If you have any questions, please ask.
And again, we have a reception this evening. It's you know, hors d'oeuvres and cash bar at 7. If all the board members, if I don't run across you before we leave, when the meeting is complete, please come on up and see me before we depart the room this afternoon. Okay. Any comments or questions on what's going to be happening this week? Any thoughts? And as always, keep your eyes and ears open throughout the week for any thoughts or ideas that you may have how we can, you know, adapt things for next year, what needs to be, you know, redone or repeated, or some new things brought in. We're always looking for ideas on, you know, to keep the Sagebrush Training Conference as current and opportune as we can for all blind vendors. Oh, yeah. I was looking at that. I was artist speaking. Yeah, we have our sponsor board in the back room, and we need to get that brought up a little bit because the bottom sponsors can't see below the tables, and that's, you know, that will be moved tomorrow morning. So we'll have them raise it then. I'll get a hold of Sonia and, you know, see if they can't lift it up. They can go up probably a good 4 or 5 feet, and so we show our board. Okay. Okay, I might be able to get a hold of her this afternoon yet to get that done. Okay. Our next committee is credentials. Terry?
Well, we don't really have any real credentials report right now. We really have it at the regular meeting in July. We usually have the totals for this group, this convention, but I don't think Artis has it completed yet. And we were upgraded as we went along, but for some reason I lost it. And she said it to me a couple of times, and I can't open it, so I don't have anything on it. You got something, Rocky?
No.
Oh.
Okay.
So I know if anybody's got any numbers. Artis, you don't have nothing, do you?
Several states that have not sent any dues in yet, so I need to get those. They have to, in order to be on time, they have to be in by March 1, and I think I've only got a couple of states in thus far. I mean, I've got quite a few at-large members, but not very many states.
Yeah, we have to get our numbers into ACB's, you know, to be listed on their tally. So. Yes, Randy.
Is that date, March 1st, is that the same date that for a new affiliate?
No.
We can accept new affiliates late. But in order to be counted in our ACB count, they have to be into ACB by March 15.
Right.
Right.
Thank
Okay. Next committee, finance and budget. Terry?
Same thing. You know, we do the finance and budget at the regular meeting in July. So if nobody's got any questions, I might be able to answer now. I think the treasurer's report tells you mostly everything you need to know, but if there's something in particular anybody's got, just ask me.
Yeah, we're always, you know, interested in, you know, how we can improve our budget process and improve our financial status as well. Okay, thank you, Terry. Historian, we're still looking for an historian. We got a lot of people out there that know an awful lot about sagebrush over the years, but we really need to have someone, you know, appreciate someone stepping up and say, yeah, I can handle that, and that'd be, you know, it.
I have some information from Gene Heisler that I would like to pass on to the historian when you find them.
Okay.
Well, Mr. President, you should be aware, too, that we also received all of Bob Humphrey's documentation. It's about 7 or 8 cases of documents related to RSVA since inception and all the work that he's done with RSVA over the years. I think we got them about a month, month and a half ago. We have them down at the office in New Orleans.
Yeah, that was quite phenomenal. As Bob is, you know, transitioning with Natasha's health situation, they sold her property in Hawaii, and they're in the process of selling their property in Florida and moving back to Washington, D.C., closer to the roots, he decided it was time to part with all of his records. And he's donated them to RSVA. That's everything that he's done for RSVA, and plus, and some additional work, he's donated to our archives. And so it's all being stored in New Orleans and can be, you know, there's a lot of things in there that are non-electronic, which would take manual research to get at it, but it's there. We have it now. It's in our possession as RSVA, and I think we owe Bob a big thank you for, you know, allowing RSVA to be a caretakers of all that information. So again, anyone that has a desire to, you know, be a historian, as Donna says, she has a bunch of Gene Heisler's documents that would really get it all incorporated for us. Okay. Legal, as you know, you're aware, you know, Bob is still with us on a limited basis because of Natasha's, but Jeff Tom has graciously, you know, volunteered, I really use that term, volunteered his services, because we glean a lot more out of Jeff than we ever could afford to pay because of his vast past experience and stuff. And he's been very helpful in taking the lead in the Oregon case. Melanie Brunson had worked on the Oregon case with us and a few other things, but it's pretty much fallen on the shoulders of Jeff. And, you know, we get quite a lot of questions come through from various people, whether it's members or non-members. I guess I don't look at the membership list. If somebody sends me a question or calls me, has a question, if it looks like it's a valid thing that could be of national interest, I just ask Jeff and Bob, what is your thought on this? You know, and they'll draft a reply and get back. And it's just a phenomenal system that. We just are deeply indebted to Jeff on this for, you know, stepping in. But Bob is still available, again, on a limited basis. And we're just pleased to have Jeff with us here this week. Anything you'd like to add, Jeff?
No, thank you, Dan, for the kind words. About the only thing I have is, as Randy can attest, the Oregon case is supposed to come down with a decision any day now. So it might even happen this week. We don't know, but we're told to wait with bated breath from the attorney, the Oregon attorney.
Yeah, it's hard to write with my fingers crossed.
Yeah. Yeah, that's been, you know, but actually it's moving, you know.
Let me take a minute to thank RSBA, seriously, and ACB, and all the support and involvement that this organization has put forth. And, you know, the way I see organizations, those are the type of things, win, lose, or draw, those are the type of things that we should be doing. And I really appreciate Rocky's assistance, Dan's, you know, Jeff's and Bob's and everybody that's been involved. And let's hope for a good outcome on this thing. So,
yeah, and I think it is so critical, you know, for those of us that are going to the ACB midyear to thank ACB leadership staff that'll be there, because it was a joint amicus brief that we submitted. ACB and RSVA, you know, ACB supported us on this and supported Oregon case. You know, I think that's what it's all about, being part of RSVA and being part of ACB. And so if you run across anyone in the leadership role at ACB, make sure you thank them for all their support, because their leadership team really does truly believe in our program. Okay. What do we have, Rock? Legislative?
Rock. Yeah, I just have two things, Dan. The first thing is a relatively easy one. Everyone should keep in mind that the ACB legislative seminar, I think, starts on the 27th, 28th of February. I think Artis and Dan are going this year. They'll probably be making the rounds of Capitol Hill, so anybody who has any suggestions on any legislative items they want handled at the federal level, you might want to contact either Dan or Artis on that. The other one is an ugly issue, which everybody is fairly familiar with, and that's the joint policy statement and the rulemaking on that. Rulemaking has now moved out of DOD and is over with the impacted federal agencies, one of them being Department of Ed, RSA, and they're waiting to get the impact statements back from them. Thank our brothers at NFB and the Blind Merchants for that, because they're the ones who exacerbated this situation. We're essentially waiting for RSA to come back with where their position is at. I'm sure they're going to come back positioning in such a way that Randolph Shepherd has a minimum impact from the joint policy statement, but we have to wait to see what comes out of D.C. before bring it to the board for any response on that. That's all I've got, Dan.
Okay. Any comments, questions, thoughts? Okay. Thank you, Rocky. And Rocky's been a very valuable resource for us on keeping on top of particular legislative issues and working with a lot of different issues. It's just a pleasure. Okay, membership, Roy?
Unfortunately, I haven't been keeping up with it. Artis has been communicating in most of the areas. This past year, as most of you know, I've had a big hole in my life, and I've had to try to fill it in with as best I can. And the RSVA membership has not been a priority in my life right now.
No, that's very understandable, Roy, and we appreciate all the things that you have done for us, and and we understand, we really extend our great sympathies for all that you've been through in the past couple of years. Our thoughts and prayers are still with you on that. But membership is all of our responsibility to recruit membership and recruit affiliates. It just does not fall, like as with any of these committees, it does not all fall on the committee chair. The committee chair just helps coordinate things, but it's the committee and all membership that really drives every function of the organization. So, again, thank you, Roy, and hopefully things are getting better for you day by day.
I was just going to mention, one thing we'll try to plug all throughout the conference, too, is that people can go to the RSVA table and fill out an application for membership dues and pay their dues at the RSVA table on Wednesday during exhibits. And if you see people, ask them if they're a member and encourage them to sign up, both for a regular membership or for a life membership. And I think most of you probably know who, you know, are regular members and who are not, and, you know, try to encourage them to sign up. We did have it on the registration form, as we have, we did last year, too. Last year, I actually got about, I think, 15 or 16 people signed up for membership on their registration form. This year, I got less. I think I only got about 8 or 9 that did it, you know, on their form. But I think, you know, we can try to encourage them all week.
Okay. Thank you, Artis. Yeah. And again, as you meet your friends and colleagues in the halls this week, you just kind of remind them that it's time to get their dues in. It's past due. So, okay. National accounts. As you know, we, in the past, national accounts has dealt primarily with rebates, and rebates have always hinged upon growth potential. And we've always, you know, for many, many years, we successfully argued against the growth factor with the rebate programs that various manufacturers offer. And that became harder and harder and harder, you know, the manufacturer just insisted on having a growth program. So we've always been on the hunt or on the search for some kind of bottom-line pricing. And we've always approached our rebate participant partners in the past that just, you know, give us a bottom line, give us a uniform pricing nationwide, if you want, state by state, to do whatever, you know, but, you know, let's stop arguing about or debating the issue of growth. And with Rocky's assistance and Terry's and Herbert's assistance, the Louisiana Council, we're always on the hunt for that type of situation where we are big. As blind vendors, we are big. We do a lot of business, but we're not recognized by many manufacturers for that factor. However, by joining another group or other groups, we can hopefully get to that bottom line pricing and forego those rebate factors where, you know, you got to buy 10% more this year than you did last year. You got to buy a case of this or a case of that this quarter. Well, that, you know, not everybody can do that, especially with the vending sales, you know, declining, not really much improvement. So I'm going to ask Rocky, to give us a little highlight on some of the avenues we've been researching.
We had 2 attempts this past year. Well, actually 3 attempts. One attempt was with McLean, who I'm sure many of you are familiar, is owned by Warren Buffett, one of his investments. We looked at the McLean situation. Terry had actually visited them a few years ago. One of the difficulties in McLean is their distribution footprint. They require that we have to have a minimum buy within particular markets for them to even be stocking those items in there. And even though they provide servicing to the C stores, which is primarily what we were looking at asking them to do for our vendors, the quantities in which they ship to those C stores is pretty much above what most of our average mid-sized to smaller vendors would actually be looking for. So given their requirement for regional stocking and then the minimum buy, we felt that the McLean situation was not really a good fit. The other attempt that we made was with Canteen. Canteen is owned by a much larger organization. And I'll be very blunt. The reason that Canteen did not want to offer us a purchasing agreement is because John Mern, who operates the RSA buying group, his brother is one of their franchisees in New York, and Canteen felt that that was a conflict of interest. So that discussion really didn't get off the ground. Currently, we are in discussions with Incensia, which is part of the Premier Group out of New York. They're actually a sponsor this year. They have in place the grocery solution. They are getting in place the vending solution, or the snack solution, as they call it. They have agreements with Pepsi, and they have agreements with Frito-Lay. Where they fall short is the agreement with Coke, and we all know what the issues are with that. So I think it's going to take them a little bit more time before we feel comfortable with bringing them before the board to really engage in discussions, because as it stands right now, as I said, the really only solution that they have in front of us is the grocery solution. But I encourage you to visit them with the exhibitors and to talk with them. They're a great group of people. They're very transparent, which is not something that we have with the other buying group. They're huge. They supply most of the hospitals, many of the universities throughout the country. So they have a huge buying power. But as I said before, it is focused on the grocery side. So I'm anxious to see what they're going to do on the vending and the snack side.
So thank you, Rocky. As you can see, it's been quite busy. It's constantly busy on that aspect. And in that, I think because we are a large group, compounds the situation. You know, it was a factor in this McLean discussions. McLean's has 21 warehouses across the country, and I think six or seven of them are maxed out. So they couldn't take on any more business without building on, and you know, six or seven of their warehouses. So that created another hurdle in another topic that we had to add to our agenda discussions. And the Compass Group, you know, they had the conflict there. And I think, you know, even with the Premier situation, you know, their primary distribution center is U.S. Foods, which is big. And I think we can work through that one. I really think that we can make that work. And you would be amazed at the pricing structure that these large buyers come up with. You know, it's just unbelievable that the price structure, whether it be a Mars Snickers candy bar or a bag of chips or whatever, compared to what we pay or best price somebody else pays, the benefit we bring to them is that we'll add to their buying power, so you know, maintain their low bottom line pricing, but the distribution by picking all of us up. And the other factor is that there are a number of small blind vendors out there that makes it difficult for a large truck to deliver to, if they're only buying. But U.S. Foods, you know, their dollar minimum delivery is quite reasonable. So I think, you know, again, we had hoped to have the discussions a little further along, but didn't have a grand opening of it at Sagebrush. But
Dan, if I can just break in, just to let you folks know, as Dan said, their minimum buy through Premier and Incensia for the U.S. food side, the grocery side, is $300 or $325. That's the minimum purchase for delivery on that side. What we're encouraging them to do is to set up a national account with Vistar and to essentially require the same minimum purchase with Vistar, about $300, and to allow the breaking of larger quantities. That's the direction we're trying to drive them. They understand that. I know they're talking with Vistar about that. It's just a matter of, you know, how soon they can come full circle on this.
Okay. Thank you. Again, thank you, Rocky. And Rocky really put an inordinate amount of time in searching all these out and in a lot of discussions and stuff. We really appreciate that. Okay. Next committee is OASIS, and that's Roy Harmon. But then I understand, Roy, there really hasn't been much discussion going on with the OASIS situation nor with the DOT, but it's something that Roy has always had a passion for, is monitoring that. Any thoughts on that, Roy?
Well,
Okay. I just haven't heard anything legislatively recently. Katrina and I have talked last year about it, and she said that, well, just, you know, be ready. And but there hasn't been any anything going on as far as nationally. Not unless you're aware of something, and I haven't been informed.
Yeah. No, there's nothing to my knowledge. It's been pretty quiet. I see all quiet on the Eastern Front out in D.C. hopefully it stays that way for a while. Right. And we will have Katrina McDonald here tomorrow, and hopefully, provided she don't get snowed in, and give us an update if there is any behind-the-scenes discussion on anything with DOT or any place else. Okay. Next committee is planning. Artis?
I don't really have anything on planning. I know one of the goals of the planning committee is to have a convention outline, both for the summer convention and the Sagebrush convention, so that when some of us who are very active in it are no longer able to participate, that people coming after us will have a, you know, the whole list of what takes place and what needs to take place in order to get things rolling. And I think that's really important for any organization to have, because as you go through leadership and leadership changes, if you don't have things set in place, it makes it difficult. And I know Eddie volunteered to help me on that, but so far we haven't gotten very far in that regard. But if anyone else is willing to help in with either one of them to help put that together, that would be appreciated.
Okay. Thank you, Artis. Yeah, that's something we always keep in our minds, but it falls in our back on the back burner as things always keep progressing on for us. Okay, publications and public relations, Artis.
Okay, publications. I need to ask for your assistance. As you know, of course, Hazel was a vital part of the publications committee, and of course, she's been gone for over a year. And we had a replacement. Mary Lou Schumacher had volunteered to help and assist in reading as I sent in articles and checking them for various formatting issues in particular. But she has been having some health issues recently. In fact, her and her husband, Willie, neither one could make it to this conference. And she asked me to put out a plea to have others assist in that project. Now, I did get one volunteer thus far, Diane Downey, who is on our convention committee, Sagebrush Committee, has offered to help with that to some degree, but she doesn't want it to totally fall on her because she's legally blind too, so she said she doesn't always catch everything either. So if you know of someone who you think would be really good with that, you know, likes to write or likes to edit, etc., please bring them to my attention. I'd appreciate that. And we're always looking for new committee members for the publications committee. And Donna just volunteered to. So anybody that you know that would be interested in being on publications, we'd appreciate it. Because we like to have people write articles about, well, like, for example, this conference. If there's a particular session that you find really interesting and you're willing to take notes on it and put together an article, even if it's not, you know, you just have the notes, you can send them to us. We can always put it together into an article. You know, that's really helpful because we like to put out a publication that people find really interesting. So anyone that wants to help with that, we'd appreciate it. As far as public relations, I would really like someone to step up and help with social media. We have a LinkedIn account. We have a Facebook page. But to me, it's really hard for me to post stuff. I occasionally have asked Kevin to post on there. But it would be nice if we could have regular postings on those sites because it would make people more aware of us and the public more aware of us. So if any of you really like to be on social media, let me know. Or if you know someone, a vendor or spouse that likes to do that kind of thing, tell them to come to me. I'd appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, artists. We really owe artists a big debt of gratitude, putting a vendor scope out 4 times a year, coordinating all that and getting the articles. And she's always willing, ready, willing, and able to help someone write an article or proof an article. But, you know, it's a very important committee, and anyone that can give publications some help. I'm not going to volunteer for social media artists, sorry. Social media and I got different differences there, but you have to find someone else. Okay. Again, thank you, artists. Okay. Next committee is Ways and Means. Again, there we would like to have someone willing to take on that task of, raising, finding ways of supporting the organization. You know, we've been doing so well under Terry's guidance of through the bingo hall and stuff, but we always need to search for new ways to do things, so raise money so we can do more. There's so much that needs to be done for the blind vendor community, but the entire blindness community. We like to support ACB and many of their affiliates and wherever we can. Sometimes funding limits us as to what we can do or what we can get involved in.
Yeah, Dan, maybe what we should do is to raise public awareness. We should put Terry on a plane, fly him around the country, and have him set up bingo halls.
Now that would be a good way. It'd be very lucrative. Yes.
I was just about to nominate Johnny Bochelle. I think we'll keep that Alabama presence going.
Yep. Okay.
Didn't say no. So
again, anyone, Please let me know if you have any thoughts on Ways and Means or something. Can be a very integral part. We had the good news that bingo is really doing well, but let's not rest our laurels there. We can do more. There's so many more things to be done out there, but it takes money. Okay. Any unfinished business that we need to take care of? Okay, hearing none. Next is new business. Randy has an issue going on in Oregon, and he'd like to bring to our attention. Randy?
Oregon is a gift that keeps on giving. In a good way. Anyway, I did want to share and bring to the board for their consideration an issue that we're facing in Oregon. In sum, the agency is taking the position that no subcontracting can occur. So the licensed blind vendors over the last 8 years were actually forced into using subcontractors to do either all of their business or a good portion of their business because our agency did not have the money to procure equipment or buy replacement parts or what you have. So they made sure that when we went out and teamed with our partners that we had proper insurance and liability insurance, and we had contracts in place. And so the agency assisted and supported this model of practice. And I can tell you that in many cases, especially in the rural areas where vendors were driving miles and miles and miles and miles, it helped to increase profits on those locations. And not only did it help increase profits, but like in Oregon, we primarily use Compass Canteen. There are other vending companies, but they were able to give us the healthy vending support, the planograms, the turnaround time on repairs. So With that being said, under the disguise of darkness, the agency went behind the committee's back and with nobody's involvement or knowledge, went and sought an attorney general's opinion on if the licensed blind vendors in Oregon could continue to subcontract based on the state statute. The state statute says as long as you know a manager is to take care of the day-to-day operations, manage, control, or supervise their facility. And so you could clearly see what they were trying to do. They were trying to work this opinion in to support their desire, and that was to go to the legislators seeking almost $700,000 in general funds with the hope of going to the federal government asking for reallotment funds, which I don't quite understand all of it, but it appears that it's federal money that's been left over. So long story short, what the agency is doing, again, without any involvement, they've gone to the legislators and they proposed this budget package that would require the licensed blind vendors not to use subcontractors, even those who are in contracts with those, and start servicing their own machines individually. And, you know, so where we are right now, there was a committee meeting on it this morning, a subcommittee of Ways and Means, and I watched it on the internet, and it looked like the agency got punched in the nose because they did not have the answers to what the committee members asked them. But with that being said, you never know what might come out of that. So I wanted to see if the committee would be at all interested. I know Terry Smith has been involved, and I know Nikki Gekos has been involved. I know Sandy Larson and Eric Dell have been involved, and LaWanda Miranda. I can tell you Nikki, Terry, LaWanda are all very heavy NFB. I'm not sure if maybe RSVA could be involved either by making a phone call and just continuing to put the pressure on this agency saying, you know, we want a seat at the table. We want to know here's our position. We want to know what's going on. You know, you can't do this with no active participation, so forth and so on. So I don't know the exact thing to do, but if you could, you know, come up with some ideas, we'd love it.
Randy, if I could make a suggestion, why don't you just do this? There's been no active participation, right? I mean, that's been denied, correct? So why don't you just have a couple managers get together, file for a full evidentiary hearing based on the failure to provide active participation, all right? That will be ruled. They'll probably rule against you, okay, which is fine. Then bump it up to arbitration. The legislature is going to be uninclined to proceed with passing a law if there's an existing action against the agency for that particular thing. And, you know, maybe that's something that Jeff Tom could address, too.
Could you get us the Attorney General's opinion sort of to start so that we are able to see where the ammunition is that
sure.
we need to
you
find?
Know, Jeff, we have the they did an informal opinion. I can send that to you.
Okay.
He did like a seven-page report. He did a seven-page report that he sent to the committee and posted on the Oregon Legislative Information System. So I'll send both of those to you. And it's kind of interesting. On the 22nd, the executive director submitted a request to the legislators letting them know that she had this informal opinion. Of course, the formal opinion wasn't dated until the 25th. And then on the 28th, after toward the end of the meeting, after the committee had voted on a new version of the handbook, which limited subcontracting, the director says, oh, by the way, I have this opinion that I just got today, which clearly it was dated the 25th, and this was the 28th. So there's a lot of shenanigans going on, but I'll send those to you. So,
if you'd like.
Yeah, yeah, if you could get that, that'd be a big help. Okay. Anyone have any thoughts that they on that they'd like to share at this point or comments? Okay. I think that's okay. Yeah, we'll monitor soon. We, you know, Randy will get us the information, and we'll, if anything comes, develops, we'll keep you posted and see what we as a national organization can do, or where our best action would be, whether it be legislature, or attorney general, or maybe just the SLA. But I think Rocky's suggestion, you know, is very good starting point, if nothing else. Okay. Any other new business? Any other activity we need to address? Earth?
We have a raffle going this week, and I think, I would like to see anyway, every board member sell at least $20 worth of raffle tickets, and if you don't want to sell them, you can buy them. to encourage everybody to, you know, I know I was talking earlier to a few people, and Johnny already has his wife, she already sold $60 worth, and Eddie has committed to sell at least $300 worth. He's already given me the $300 that he's going to sell. So I'd like to, you know, see each of the board members step up and sell some tickets so we can get rid of the whole roll.
Perfect. That'd be excellent. That'd be amazing to get the involvement like that. Okay. Again, reminder, the slot tournament, still time to register for the slot tournament. Again, it's moved to 5:15 Wednesday evening, right outside the doors here. They will be roping that part off Wednesday morning, and we'll have access to it, you know, as soon as the exhibits are over. And there will be reception tonight, 7 o'clock in here, or one of these rooms in the Grand Ballroom. I believe they're going to just move it back. I think they're just bringing a bar in here. That's where I remember it. They were doing things different than they did last year, and I just got a, I'm not sure of the sequence right now, but we'll be in one of these doors here.
I think it looks like it's set up across the hall.
Across, okay, okay.
And the doors will be unlocked.
Yeah, yeah. They try to, I think what one comment was, have access for a lot of stuff through the hallway. But Wednesday we won't have a hallway. That's part of our exhibit room. And to limit, to minimize the infiltration of outside noise, I don't personally care for that thought. I think direct access is better. But hopefully tomorrow morning we'll make other arrangements and have direct access in here rather than through the hallway there. I think it's just easier accessibility for those that are blind or visually impaired, or for anyone, really, to find it just when you see it. I agree with their noise infiltration issue, but yet there are other inconveniences. Okay. Again, we see you all in a couple hours, and we can have a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, we're adjourned.